Chapter 9. What am I giving up? Porn is difficult to give up because we fear we're being deprived of real pleasure. We fear that certain pleasant situations will never be the same again. We fear we'll be unable to cope with stressful situations. Don't be fooled, we've been brainwashed into believing that sex and by extension, orgasm, is a constant and frequent need as critical as food and oxygen. Even further, we've been brainwashed to believe that using internet porn fulfills this need and quitting will deprive us of real benefits, leaving a void that we must fill with something else. We must combat these misconceptions and false beliefs with truth and science. Understand with all confidence and clarity that porn doesn't fill a void in your life, it creates one. Our bodies are the most sophisticated objects on the planet. Whether you believe in intelligent design, natural selection, or a combination of both, our bodies are thousands of times more effective than anything man-made. We're unable to create the smallest living cell, the miracle of eyesight, a functioning reproductive system, or any of the various interlinked systems present in our bodies and brains. Our bodies have been provisioned with fail-safe mechanisms to handle super stimuli like internet porn, and we ignore these at our peril. By understanding how our bodies work and how it responds to internet porn, we can rest in the truth that our fears are unfounded and simply the result of believing in frivolous cultural stigmas. There's nothing to give up. Once you understand where you've been brainwashed and can see pornography for what it really is, you'll neither want to dedicate your life to achieving orgasms or use internet porn for it. There are many unknowns when it comes to porn addiction, with much of the medical community not even questioning if porn addiction could be a factor when assigning diagnoses. Many reported symptoms of porn addiction could be assigned to other causes. Porn addicts are not stupid people, they're just miserable with and without porn. Caught between two wrongs, they try to abstain and become miserable because they feel deprived of something they love, or they feel guilty and despise themselves for using porn. When porn users get symptoms such as lower back pain or porn-induced erectile dysfunction, their minds are torn between accepting responsibility for their addiction or getting a prescription for painkillers and Viagra. We've all seen smokers make excuses to sneak off for a puff and show us the true addiction in action. Addicts don't do this for enjoyment. Instead, they're doing it because they're miserable without it. When the addict realizes that the addiction is simultaneously creating the feelings of deprivation and withdrawal as well as relieving them, they can see the addiction for what it really is: slavery. Furthermore, when the addict realizes by understanding how their bodies work, that the addiction is simultaneously making itself look more appealing as well as making everything else appear less appealing by rewiring the brain and shutting off dopamine receptors, they'll understand that watching porn is a useless activity providing no benefit at all. Not only is there nothing to give up by quitting porn, there's much to be gained. Once the cycle of dopamine flooding and numbing of withdrawals is stopped, we can enjoy life to the fullest again. You'll have motivation to try new things. You'll actually enjoy moments of nervousness when you're about to do something you've never done before. You'll be inspired to start new hobbies. You'll have the willpower to set new fitness goals. You'll have the patience to meditate and experience real peace again. You won't be bored all the time anymore. Simple activities like listening to your favorite music will feel more beautiful than before. Void, the void, the beautiful void. Imagine that you have a huge pimple on your face. You go to the pharmacy and they give you a free ointment to try. You put the ointment on and the pimple disappears immediately. But a week later it reappears, so you go back to the pharmacist and request more free ointment. You apply the ointment and the pimple disappears again. However, after a few days, the pimple reappears and this time it's slightly larger and more painful than before. Even worse, another pimple is coming in right next to the first. You apply the ointment and the pimples disappear, but again, more pimples return and they're a little larger and more painful than before. Now you notice that the interval between the pimples' reappearance gets shorter and shorter. Eventually, the pimples cover your whole face, are excruciatingly painful, and start reappearing every hour. You know the ointment will remove them temporarily, but you're very worried. Will the pimples eventually spread over your whole body? Will the hour of relief be reduced to nothing? The doctor can't cure it, so you try other things, but nothing helps except the ointment. By now, you're completely dependent on the ointment. You can't leave the house without ensuring you have a full container of it with you. When you travel, you need to keep several containers in your checked luggage. In addition to your worries about your health, the pharmacist begins charging you $100 a tube. You have no choice but to pay it. One day, you stumble across an internet article discussing the pimples and the ointment. You discover this predicament isn't unique to you. Many people are suffering from the same problem. In fact, the medical community has discovered that the ointment doesn't actually cure the pimples, but only drives them beneath the surface of the skin. Furthermore, the ointment itself is causing the pimples to grow. If you stop using the ointment, the pimples will stop growing and gradually disappear on their own. Would you continue to use the ointment? Without knowing that the ointment was both the cause and solution for your situation, would willpower be effective in abstaining from using the ointment? If you didn't believe the article, you might be apprehensive, but once you realize the pimples were beginning to heal on their own, the need or desire to use the ointment would be gone. Would you be miserable without the ointment? Of course not. You had an awful problem which you thought was incurable, but now you've found the solution. Even if it took a year for the pimples to go away, if each day they improved, you'd be elated. You certainly wouldn't count how many days it's been since you last used the ointment, or create a goal to go 90 days before using the ointment again. This is how it feels to quit porn. It's so nice to be free. Chapter 10. Saving time. Common reasons porn users state when trying to quit are health, religion, and partner stigma. But these are all external motivators, not the wishes of the porn user themselves. External motivators are the main reason why people get trapped by the willpower method. They don't really desire to quit, but are either being forced to quit or are trying to force themselves to quit. However, porn becomes precious to us when we're unwillingly trying to abstain and when abstinence is forced on us. The key to quitting is in destroying the misconceptions we've been brainwashed to accept as truth. The more we dispel these falsities, the easier it will be to quit porn. Porn users who don't believe that porn has any negative effect on their health and aren't having a mental tug of war with themselves are typically young, single, and possibly with an occasional sex partner. The addiction hasn't had time to cause enough noticeable detriment to their lives, or such detriments are still too infrequent to be registered. However, something no one can justify regardless of age is the time spent using porn. Let's assume your porn addiction costs you 30 minutes per day on average. This means you're spending a full workday every 2 weeks and a full month of working days every year watching porn. I'm sure you'd agree that for an average porn addict, an average of 30 minutes per day watching porn is a very conservative estimate. Even for porn users who don't use porn every day due to being busy with work, school, or other commitments, once the weekend arrives, it's very normal to engage in porn sessions lasting several hours. Have you ever thought about how much time you'll spend in your lifetime watching porn? What else could you be doing with that time? What if you used that time to invest in real relationships? Your favorite porn star doesn't have any sympathy for you. Your viewership is making them money. But the time is not simply being wasted on a harmless activity. You're spending that time ruining your physical health, destroying your ability to handle normal stress levels, and degrading your confidence. Younger porn users have likely never considered that their porn usage could become a lifelong addiction. As we know, this is the mindset every porn addict starts with. We never intended our first few peeks at porn to become an addiction. No porn addict, if given the chance to take back the first peek, would ever choose to do it all over again. Occasionally, porn addicts will calculate the time they waste watching porn over an average week, and that's alarming enough. Less occasionally, only when they think of quitting, a porn addict might estimate time spent over a year, which is even more frightening, but over a lifetime. Unthinkable. Young porn users always think they'll be able to quit before it gets too bad. Then one day they try, and fail. They try again and fail again. This is when porn is no longer enjoyable. It's an addiction which will last for the rest of our lives, unless we learn how to quit. Would you refuse a job offer that pays your current annual salary and gives you an extra month off work every year? Anyone would agree in a heartbeat and get busy finding holiday travel deals to exotic locations. Figuring out how to spend an extra month with no work would be the biggest problem to solve. However, in every discussion with an addicted porn user, and please don't get offended, I'm not talking to someone like yourself who plans to quit before it gets too bad. No one has ever taken me up on that job offer. You can get a month of your life back every year for free with no risk right now. When we need to make big decisions in life, we often employ analytical processes, weighing up advantages and disadvantages to arrive at a rational decision. We might make a wrong decision, but it will be the result of rational deduction. Whenever any porn user weighs up the pros and cons of using internet porn, the answer is always, stop using porn. Clearly, porn users are doing so not because they want to, but because they can't stop. Because it's humiliating to admit that they've lost control, they'll go to great lengths to justify their actions, trying to convince themselves that they have good reasons for them. Internet porn is a loop chain reaction, and the chain will remain in place for life if you don't break it. Estimate how much time you think you'll spend on porn for the remainder of your existence. The amount will vary from person to person, but if we continue with our assumption that the average porn user spends an average 30 minutes per day, one workday every 2 weeks, 26 workdays a year watching internet porn, that calculates out to over 4 years spent watching porn if you started watching porn when you were 20 until you die at age 70. Imagine receiving a check from the lottery for over 4 times your annual salary. You'd be overjoyed. This is what it feels like to quit porn forever. If you think this is an unfair way of looking at it, you're still fooling yourself. Calculate how much time you would have saved if you'd never started using porn. If you're mentoring someone for their porn addiction, tell them you know someone who is refusing a job offer that will pay them their current annual salary and gives them an extra month off work every year. When they ask who that idiot is, tell them, it's you.